Sir Henry Sumner Maine, Freedom of Expression and Dissent in the Soviet Union. You must detach the people, the children, from their conscience, from their fathers, and remove the conscience, the fathers, from the people, from the children. If you are to use them for social cause, that is for social change. According to dialectic, reasoning, sensuousness, that is time and space, approach, pleasure, avoid pain, is the only domain, the effective domain, that man can comprehend, that righteousness, I'm above, ruling over you below, directing your steps. With you obeying me whether I make sense, it is pleasurable to you or not in the moment. Whether you like it or not, you are to walk in faith, that is according to my righteousness, that is that righteousness, being told what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil, that is that which is only in and of God alone. That is outside of man's reasoning, dialectic, reasoning abilities, who can only reason according to his own sensuousness, according to his own nature, according to his own life experiences, thinking and acting according to sight, that is, according to his own sensuous needs and sense perception. Karl Marx, as you will see, by using the dialectic process, by using dialectic reasoning, that is the so-called scientific method on man, as in behavior science, you can only define man according to his own carnal nature. That is according to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, according to the law of sin, where his reasoning ability, that is his science, the dialectic process, on man, defining him according to his own nature, negates anything outside of his sense experience of the moment, negates faith, the preaching and teaching, that is the inculcating of truth. Science is only genuine science when it proceeds from sense experience, in the two forms of sense perception and sensuous need, that is, only when it proceeds from nature. Karl Marx Mega I/3 by defining man, prioritizing his life. According to the scientific method, man is materialized, made at one with the creation only, that is negating the creator, that is negating God, that is negating the Father's authority. If you change the way people think and act, if you change the order from the old to the so-called new, if you change the paradigm from a patriarchal pattern where the father rules, that is a father-centered environment where the children say, what will dad or God say? That is a top-down, above-below system to a heresiarchal pattern where the children, their feelings and their thoughts, rule. That is child-centered. If it feels good, do it. That is an equality system. You change the world, you change the condition or standard whereby not only the worth or value of your home or business is determined, but also the worth or value of your very own life is determined. In other words, if you don't participate in the process of change, if you don't change your paradigm, if you don't change the way you think and act, since everyone else is doing it, you will be classified as being irrational. Therefore, you will be treated as being irrelevant. If you keep holding onto your old-fashioned way of thinking and acting, your old paradigm, your old unchangingness, your faith, that is, you will become worthless and of no value. Once you get past all the philosophers' philosophical verbiage used to cover their tracks, to remove the conscience from the mind, it all comes down to the father-children relationship. Either the father is an authority, restraining the children. The father is absent for a while, and the children are doing their own thing, hoping not to get caught, that is still having a guilty conscience, or the children rule, unrestrained except by their hope for more carnal pleasure, ruling in anarchy. That is in lawlessness, living according to their ever-changing, felt needs of the moment. Carl Rogers believed in and propagated a dialectical new world order. He wrote, "Life at its best is a flowing, changing process in which nothing is fixed. The good life is not any fixed state. The good life is a process. The direction which constitutes the good life is psychological freedom to move in any direction, where the general qualities of this selected direction appears to have a certain universality. Consciousness, instead of being the watchman over a dangerous and unpredictable lot of impulses, becomes the comfortable inhabitant of a society of impulses and feelings and thoughts. Carl Rogers, On Becoming a Person, we paid him well, with our tax dollars and others like him, so that he could show our teachers and ministers how to use the dialectic process on us and on our children. As you will come to understand, psychology serves only one purpose and one purpose only, the negation of the father's authority in the lives of the children. When the opinions of the children that is expressed in the language of I feel and I think become the foundation of communication in the home, then the father's authority to give commands without question, to preach and teach, that is expressed in the language, you can and you cannot, because I said so. And the use chastising when he is disobeyed or his command is not carried out, is negated. Language is a product of culture, that is, culture engenders a particular language. Thus, the language of a patriarchal culture, where the father rules, is a language of preaching and teaching, a language of thou shalt not, or else. But the language of a heresiarchal culture, where the children rule, is a language of dialogue, a language of, well, I feel, and well, I think. While both cultures and languages can intermingle for a period, only one can maintain a position of authority or influence, that is, one culture having to submit or succumb to the other. For example, when the child responds with a why, to engender dialogue, to free himself from the father's authority, and the father responds with, because I said so, to retain his position of authority, two cultures have become manifest, the culture of permissiveness and the culture of authority. If the culture of authority goes into dialogue in response to the why, it must abdicate the because I say so. And if the other culture accepts the because I said so, it must accept the authority of the father and abdicate its why. All I have to do is bring both cultures together over a crisis and move the language in the meeting from preaching and teaching, because I say so, to dialogue, why, and I will negate the one culture, replacing it with the other. The answers, the paradigm, is in the questions. By asking, how did you feel, and how do you feel, or what did you think, or what do you think, type questions, you engender a world of dialogue and opinions. You negate a world of it is written, and because I said so. That is a world of the preaching and teaching of facts and truths to be learned, memorized, and obeyed without question. You negate a patriarchal paradigm engendering environment. The preaching and teaching done in a dialectic world, the new world order, is done to encourage all to participate in the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus so as to negate the world of the preaching and teaching of truth, the old world order of the patriarchal paradigm. Psychology, based upon dialectic reasoning, that is based upon the language of the child, that is the language of sensuousness and self-justification for the child's carnal behavior, that is the language of I feel and I think, negates the language of the father, negates the father's authority over the child, negates the language of righteousness, that is negates the language of God, it is written, that is, I am above you, that is the creator in authority, and you are below me, that is the created subject to my will, therefore do what I say or else, because I said so. Just reading that makes the flesh, that is the carnal child within, rise up in rebellion, wanting his way. That spirit of the child within is the spirit of the children of disobedience. It is the stirring of dialectic reasoning, waiting to be birthed, that is, discovered, liberated, and used, that is, it is the way of the so-called new world order, negating the authority of the father and redeeming the child so that man can be himself again. I write again because according to Gnostic reasoning, that is, dialectic reasoning, knowing is not being told to do something you are not able to understand, that is, not sensually relate with yourself, yet doing it in obedience. It is experiencing something in life for yourself and then deciding, like a scientist, whether it is a good thing to do or not. Approach pleasure, avoid pain being the tool of measurement, with pleasure and pain meaning different things to different people. That is why tolerance of ambiguity is such a popular phrase today. It means accepting uncertain, that is, change, as a way of life, with no one directing your steps, no father or standard bearer, with only the sense experience of the moment to guide you, that is man experiencing himself as he is in the moment, in the situation. This is the drive and the purpose of psychology. It has had more effect upon the families of this nation than any other ology, that is. Negating the father's authority in the home, in the name of family harmony, for the purpose of social harmony, for the purpose of a new world order. According to those of dialectic reasoning, to have the new, you must negate, get rid of, the old. When the fathers rule over the children, the old paradigm, the children cannot do what they want to do, that which comes naturally. If the children are to do what comes naturally, they must unite as one upon what they have in common, that is what they do naturally, the new paradigm, and negate the father and his authority, negate the old paradigm, that is doing a so-called paradigm shift. Run that through the history books, that is all the communist, socialist, and democratic revolutions, and see if that doesn't gel. The proletariat being the children and the bourgeoisie. Being the parent or those who support them in their way of thinking and acting. The American Revolution was a revolution to establish authority in the conscience of the people, a product, as you will come to understand if you don't already, that can only come from a father's authority. The Constitution, particularly the Bill of Rights, presented us with a constitutional republic. It established the father, the head of the home, as king, limiting the power of government, giving him the power and authority to develop a conscience in the next generation of citizens. A constitutional republic form of government, which limits the power of government, serves and protects the traditional family, and thereby perpetuates the patriarchal paradigm, which initiates and sustains the old way of thinking and acting within the next generation, keeping the next generation of children subject to their father's authority. A direct attack upon the family by an outside force or from the child within would fail because of the determination and strength of the fathers, united as one to maintain their position of authority. Therefore, the old world order, where the fathers who rule, preventing the children from doing what comes naturally, must be negated by the children, united as one, united with a can-to attitude against their fathers, cannot position, creating within themselves and eventually all the world the new world order. Without the authorization of laws and the power of government to serve and protect the children, in their negating of the father's authority, there can be no new world order, for the very act, praxis, of negating the father's authority, so that the children, man's carnal nature unrestrained by righteousness, can rule, is the new world order itself. It is the theme of counseling. Prior to therapy, the person is prone to ask himself, "What would my parents want me to do?" During the process of therapy, the individual comes to ask himself, "What does it mean to me?" Carl Rogers, On Becoming a Person, it is the theme of psychology. It is not really a decisive matter whether one has killed one's father or abstained from the deed. If the function of the conflict and its consequences are the same, the father no longer rules over his family. Sigmund Freud and Herbert Marcuse, Eros and Civilization, a philosophical inquiry into Freud, it is the theme of sociology. Thus, for instance, once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the holy family, the former must itself be annihilated, vernichtet, theoretically and practically. Karl Marx, Thesis on Feuerbach number 4, and it was the theme used in A Garden in Eden, Genesis 3 verses 1-6. Without the father and his authority, a top-down system, all you have are the children, an equality system, evaluation themselves, the world, and the father, from their own perspective, from their carnal, fatherless, that is godless, nature. Thus, according to dialectic reasoning, only through the children can all become equal, red totalitarianism. According to George Hegel, equality can only come through the children negating the authority of the father, that is that it is only through the child, void the father's unquestioned direction or restraint, that rationality resides. Hegel wrote, "The child, contrary to appearance, is the absolute, the rationality. He is what is enduring and everlasting, the totality. On account of the absolute and natural oneness of the husband, the wife, and the child, where there is no antithesis of person to person or of subject to object, the surplus is not the property of one of them, since their indifference is not a formal or a legal one. George Hegel, System of Ethical Life. This is the foundation of dialectic reasoning, the child within being freed from the image, the authority structure of the father, so that all that is can become the property of all mankind. Read communism. That is globalism. That is the so-called New World Order. The role of the facilitator during a consensus meeting is to neutralize, marginalize, and remove, if necessary, the father's authority from the policy-setting environment, preventing him from maintaining a patriarchal paradigm within the community, affecting the people's thoughts and their actions, preventing change, preventing the praxis of the dialectic process, preventing the children of disobedience from negating his authority over his family, his property, and his life, preventing social psychologists, that is transformational Marxists, Marx, sociology, and Freud, psychology synthesized, from taking control over the development of the citizens of the future, preventing change agents from destroying civil society. You read me right, civil society is the enemy of dialectic reasoning. Jean-Jacques Rousseau put it this way, the first man who, having fenced in a piece of land, said, "This is mine," and found people naive enough to believe him, that man was the true founder of civil society. From how many crimes, wars, and murders, from how many horrors and misfortunes might not anyone have saved mankind? By pulling up the stakes, or filling up the ditch, and crying to his fellows, "Beware of listening to this imposter." You are undone if you once forget that the fruits of the earth belong to us all, and the earth itself to nobody. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Discourse on Inequality, emphasis added. Freud, along the same line of thought as Rousseau, believed that the guilty conscience, the residue of the father's authority within the child, was the main cause for the neurosis of civilization. That is that a civil society, a citizenry under the influence of their father's commands and treat of punishment for disobedience, thus subject to a guilty conscience, that is wanting to take that which is not theirs. To take but not being able to because the father told them it was not theirs to take, that is, it is mine, or someone else's property, or wanting to do that which is natural, but is wrong according to the father's standards. That is standards which restrain their natural inclinations of the moment is a society of neurotics not being able to do what they want to do in the moment, that is, satisfying their felt needs, that is, satisfy the lust of their flesh and their eyes. According to dialectic reasoning, the method of reasoning which both Karl Marx and Sigmund Freud had in mind, man can only get rid of the neurosis, according to Marx, the repression and alienation, and become normal again, as he was before the father's first command and threat of judgment, is by getting rid of the father's, God's, authority in their mind and in their behavior, that is, in their thoughts and in their actions, theory and practice, where men's opinions, that is, reasoning, and their natural inclinations, that is, human nature, are reunited as one, making mankind God and the earth theirs collectively. The scriptures declare it otherwise, that is, that the earth is the Lord's and that we, likewise, are under his and his heavenly Father's authority, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 26. Regarding our biological fathers, the Lord goes even further by declaring that they are also under his heavenly Father's authority, making his heavenly Father our Father, first and foremost. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 23 verse 9, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 12 verse 50, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7 verse 21, therefore, a society under the influence of the Father, that is under God, is a civil society, and, according to dialectic reasoning, must be negated if man is to become normal. The transformational Marxist, Erich Fromm, clearly explained the drive, the driver behind and the purpose, his intended outcome, of dialectic reasoning, that is the negation of God, the Father figure, so that man would become like God himself, become like the Father himself, righteous in and of himself, with no one above him, bossing him around, that is directing his steps. He wrote, in the process of history, man gives birth to himself. Through the use of dialectic reasoning, he delivers himself from God, from the Father, creating himself in his own image. He becomes what he potentially is, a human being that is only man, and he attains what the serpent, the symbol of wisdom and rebellion, promised, and what the patriarchal, jealous God of Adam did not wish, that man would become like God himself, righteous in and of himself. Erich Fromm, you shall be as gods. Bracketed information added. Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6 is how new the so-called new world order is. The only difference being other than the time of the Tower of Babel, which was local, but still with mankind united as one, without God, that is without the Father directing their steps, that is make a name for ourselves, ourselves being plural, that is collective being the operative word, it is now, for the first time global. Think local, act global, being the dialectic theme of the day. Without man's ability to justify himself before man, through his use of dialectic reasoning, being able to justify his human nature as being normal, all he has is faith in God, the Father, and a guilty conscience for being normal. That is for doing his will, that is following after his own sensuousness, doing that which is natural, according to human nature, that which is of the world, instead of doing the Father's will, that is following after his righteousness, obeying God. Who is not of the world? Salvation, for the humanist, is through man's ability to justify himself before the world, comparing himself with that which is of nature, that is his ability to think dialectically. We are all born with this ability, but not until a facilitator of change, that is like the serpent in a garden in Eden, comes along and, in a non-hostile, non-judgmental, you will not die environment, shows us how to use it, the dialectic process, that is human reasoning. That is self-justification, by comparing ourselves with the world, coming to know the world which lies within us, can we discover and know. Gnosis, a new world order, and liberate ourselves from the old world order, where we were subject to faith in and obedience to our fathers, that is especially our Heavenly Father. The seeds of our own condemnation lie within us. As the Apostle Paul wrote, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Romans 7:25 a.m. The thesis antithesis of life and death is between the flesh and the spirit, life and death determined upon where or whom our mind is established. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8 verses 5 to 8, through the use of dialectic reasoning, through man's ability to deceive himself and justify his wicked heart by synthesizing the two, that is synthesis. The spirit and the flesh, through dialectic reasoning, that is through human understanding, that is through man's carnal perception, observing and defining what he and God have in common as attributes, that is love, which is the praxis of sensitizing righteousness, that is humanizing God, the mind after the spirit is negated, the spirit being redefined as a cosmic spirit, that is the mind of man, discovering that he is one, that is becoming one with himself and the community, that is through dialogue becoming at one with the world outside himself, discovering what he has in common with all men and then through community service, through communitization, becoming one. That is one spirit in praxis with the world, negating the Father who commands, his laws which condemn, the Son of God who redeems, and the Spirit who brings us life and peace, all who only work alone together, that is not in need of human partnership and understanding to discover and know. That is Gnosis themselves. Paul continued in Romans 7:25b and 26 with the only right response. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He then went on to explain that the law cannot save us, that it can only expose our carnal nature, that is condemning us as sinners, that it is through the law of faith, through faith in Christ alone, that we are freed from condemnation, that we are redeemed, our mind then, being after the Spirit, being set upon things above, being led by the Spirit, overcoming our carnal nature, daily. Where then can we go, or to whom can we turn, to get away from our use of dialectic reasoning? But to the Lord, the only begotten Son of God, who was, and is, obedient to his heavenly Father in all things, even unto death, and has called us to do the same, that is to follow him, thereby walking in his way, thinking and acting according to his paradigm, in obedience to his heavenly Father in all things, denying ourselves, accepting the rejection of men, that is rejecting the approval of men, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5, that is refusing to participate in dialectic reasoning, refusing to go the way of the so-called new world order, refusing to follow after the way of the children of disobedience, refusing to participating in the heresiarchal paradigm of change. We are to instead put on the whole armor of God and stand in him, withstand ing in the evil day, that is standing with him in the evil day. Ephesians 6:10-18, with the church having embraced dialectic reasoning to grow itself, becoming one with the world, the believer has only the Lord Jesus Christ to turn to for direction, as it should be, that is turning to his word, lead by the Holy Spirit, making his requests be known unto his heavenly Father during these evil days, that is days of abomination. The following information, while possibly being hard to understand by a traditionalist, a fundamentalist, that is one who always believed that right is always right and wrong is always wrong, will sound familiar to anyone involved in the contemporary, that is so-called rapidly changing social setting. Yet it is the traditionalist I hope to inform on what is happening around us as well as to us and our loved ones. I will get into the academics of the process, statements by Hegel, Marx, Freud, Abraham Maslow, Carl Rogers, Theodore Adorno, etc., but first some scriptures to expose the so-called New World Order. That is a world initiated by and sustained through the use of dialectic reasoning. I realize that by doing so, that is turning to the scriptures to expose the dialectic process, the enlightened. Those of dialectic reasoning, be they Christian or not, will dismiss the following articles as being irrational and therefore irrelevant, especially when it comes to their lives. But without the Word of God, all we have is our opinions, theories, speculations, and conjectures, that is that which is the basis of dialectic reasoning. All I have to do is convince you, seduce, deceive, and manipulate you into believing that the Word of God is your opinion, and I have succeeded in taking you captive to dialectic reasoning. According to dialectic reasoning, before man can be himself, he must first negate the top-down system which engenders a thesis-antitheist condition, I'm above, you're below system. Without the dialectic process, that is without the concept of synthesis, man cannot overcome the thesis-antithesis conflict and the guilty conscience. With God there is only thesis, his love of righteousness, and antithesis, our love of sensuousness, that is unrighteousness. There is no synthesis, that is no merging of the two, that is no merging of righteousness with sensuousness and sensuousness with righteousness to make them one, that is the same or equal. Without dialectic reasoning, that is, without reasoning negating the differences between the two, overcoming that which separates man from God and God from man, the new world order cannot be actualized. Therefore, reasoning must be realized and liberated, accomplished through the use of a crisis, that is, through the need to resolve a thesis antithesis deadlocked conflict, so that man can observe and define what man and God, what the father and the children, have in common. Without negating the top-down way of thinking and acting, the preaching and teaching of pre-established, that is, unchanging and unchangeable positions, without dialectically discovering through the dialoguing of opinions that man is in God and God is in man, the universal and the particular, discovering that they are one, that is, both wanting to be restored to an at-oneness with the other, world unity is not possible. Only through the use of dialectic reasoning, the theory goes, can both God and man, discovering themselves as always having been one, only for a time separated by the demands of righteousness, according to the Marxist Theodor Adorno, under the rule of the authoritarian personality, that is, the earthly father, who, according to Adorno, engenders the heavenly father. But now, through dialectic reasoning, that is, mankind, reasoning together, discovering and uniting upon what he has in common as God, can become one again, righteous in and of himself, that is, collectively speaking. Since, according to dialectic reasoning, there is no one above him, setting standards that restrain his nature, that is, sensuousness and righteousness, mankind and God, driven by the desire for and purposed in the sharing of love, can be reunited as one. Righteousness is man now purified of all that is not of his nature, now able to love others as he desires to be loved, love based upon human nature being approved, that is, tolerated by men, that is, his righteousness, his desire for oneness, based upon human nature only, that which is common to all men, now observable to all human eyes, understandable to all human ears, and definable through human reasoning. This is the number of a man measurable, the mark of the beast definable and classifiable, which all must have if they are to be a part of the community, common unity, as in it is. Only in what we all have in common, that is, our carnal human nature, that is, that which we can all discover and liberate through our use of dialectic reasoning, we can build world unite upon. Therefore, everyone must develop human relationship building skills, that is, learn how to use higher order thinking skills in initiating and sustaining morals and ethics, democratic ethics, if mankind is to become a community, that is, if he is to be of any worth or have any value in the new world order. According to dialectic reasoning, it is only in the experiencing of communism, discovering, focusing upon, and uniting upon that which we all have in common sensuousness, with reasoning liberating it from the restraints of righteousness, the children no longer having to do the father's will when it goes against their nature, that the divisiveness of righteousness, the thesis-antithesis condition, can be overcome, and man and God, God loving the world and man loving the world, can be united as one again, that is, with the God above, ruling over and judging man below, withering away in the thoughts and actions of men. As the Father withers away, the Son withers away, and then all you have is man as God. Without the reasoning, without the synthesis, without focusing upon what we have in common, that is, being positive, that is, loving, and no longer focusing upon what makes us different, that is, being negative, that is, being hateful. Without the children of sensuousness uniting as one through the consensus process. Consensus means, with sensuousness, apprehending through reasoning and changing the world according to their own human nature, the new world order of equality cannot negate the old world order of higher authority, that is, of righteousness, that is, of the Father ruling over his creation, that is, of the fathers ruling over their families, their properties, and their businesses, causing division amongst men. Without the reasoning, that is, dialectic reasoning, that is without the ability and the opportunity to justify your carnal human thoughts and your carnal human actions before men, a world of unity built upon human nature, cannot become actualized. Some might want you to accept the idea that this process is academics, but in truth, it is spiritual. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 18 emphasis added. The Apostle Paul warned Timothy of the effects of the dialectic process, that is, the effects of the consensus process upon faith, negating it, a process of sensuousness and reasoning, of human reasoning being used to justify human nature, that is, justifying our sensuousness over and against the righteousness of God, that is a process of questioning authority, that is of questioning everything, a process of profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called, a process of change and instability, a process of unrighteousness, lawlessness, and abomination, a process of seduction, deception, and manipulation, a process of sight, that is of men's opinions negating faith, that is negating God's word. By making faith subject to sight, that is righteousness subject to sensuousness. His word subject to human experience and understanding, subject to human wisdom, a process being used by man to make the world a better place for him to live within, that is creating a new world order uninhibited by the demands of righteousness, freeing man from a guilty conscience, liberated him from the fear of judgment carried out by a higher authority than nature, a process negating God's condemnation of man for his willful disobedience, that is for his sin, that is for being human. The same warning Paul gave Timothy is true for believers today. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. 1 Timothy 6 verses 20 and 21. The word oppositions, as used by Paul, is the Greek word antithesis. Except, in this case, it is not the antithesis of true science, which means truth is a categorical imperative that is universal and unquestionable, established once and for all times and all places, as in 2 plus 2 is 4, is a thesis statement, that is an a prior, and therefore any other number, answer, opinion, theory, speculation, conjecture, etc. is an antithesis, that is an error, that is wrong, the thesis position being established forever that 2 plus 2 is 4 and cannot be any other number, judging all other responses from then on, whether they be true, that is 2, or false, that is any other number. In other words, any response or conclusion other than the thesis position is an antithesis, that is an opposition of, over and against, the truth. In true science, you are either right or you are wrong, whereas in an opinion or a theory, there is no certainty of right or wrong in the moment, as all is up in the air, subject to conjecture or speculation, subject to change. This is the antithesis of which the Apostle Paul speaks of, the science falsely so-called, that is the science of dialectic reasoning, where men's opinions or theories are treated as though they are truth. That is tested in the consensus process to see if they are accurate, that is observable and definable, regarding the human experience of the moment, and then carried out in praxis, put into social action, to see if they are true, All in defiance to the truth, treating established truth as being irrational in the moment of change, in the changing times, and therefore regarding anyone who insists upon inalienable truth, that is unchangeable truth, as being irrelevant. An anarchistic and revolutionary attitude expressed today in the language of question authority, question everything, where human perception and human reasoning, based upon a person's own sense experience of the moment subjectivity, becomes the basis that is the only basis for knowing truth with man driven by the sensuousness of pleasure and purposed in its augmentation, whether real or imagined, that is the enjoyment of this life being the end of all things. A major workbook used to change this nation, detailing how to initiate and sustain the dialectic process of change, explained its so-called scientific project this way. No hypothesis in this body of writings has been fully tested, nor will it be tested fully until it has been used widely in thoughtful experimentation with actual social changes. The school offers an important potential laboratory for the development of a truly experimental social science. Experimentally minded school workers can develop and improve the hypotheses suggested in these readings as they put them to the test in planning and evaluating changes in the school program. Kenneth Benny, Human Relations in Curriculum Change, Emphasis in Original. The author of that workbook later published a work entitled The Laboratory Method of Changing and Learning, Theory and Practice. Ed Benny, he made the following comment a few years later. If the school does not claim the authority to distinguish between science and religion, it loses control of the curriculum and surrenders it to the will of the electorate. Society as Educator in an Age of Transition, ed. Kenneth Benny, 86th year of the National Society for the Study of Education. Emphasis added, that is, who are the electorate? The author of another major workbook, referred to as Bloom's Taxonomy, a workbook of the 50s still being used to train teachers in college today, defined his teacher training manual in this way. Certainly, the taxonomy was unproven at the time it was developed and may well be unprovable. Benjamin S. Bloom, Bloom's Taxonomy, a 40-year retrospect. Bloom even referred to his special project that we are all now subject to as a culture as the opening up of Pandora's box. That is a box full of evil, which, once opened, can never be closed. You might question whether someone has the right to change a culture without their being asked or forewarned, but to question the experts on human nature would only result in you being labeled as being irrational, making you irrelevant. When it comes to the matters of your life or your grandchildren's life, they will have to determine your worth or value when you get old, that is, when you are a burden on society as well as your grandchildren's life, as they decide their personal social worth or value after they are conceived. Don't touch my pleasure, now being the theme of the day. By using the methods of science on human behavior, you automatically make human behavior, man's lust for pleasure, the standard from which to measure human behavior. Therefore, from then on, any behavior which is not supported by or supportive of your observations, your sense perception, cannot be considered credible, that is, becomes irrelevant. Bloom knew that by using the methods of true science on human nature, thereafter, the outcome would negate righteousness from the laboratory experience, that is, from the classroom experience, that is, righteousness. The authority of God, reflected in the father figure, from then would have now credibility in regards to academics, that is, in regards to acceptable behavior, in regards to the appropriate way of thinking and acting in a dialectic reasoning world. Bloom wrote, remember that all teachers in the public and private schools are being inculcated with this ideology today, it being the basis of their teacher certification and the school's accreditation. It has been pointed out that we are attempting to classify phenomena which could not be observed or manipulated in the same concrete form as the phenomena of such fields as the physical and biological sciences. It was the view of the group that educational objectives stated in the behavior form have their counterparts in the behavior of individuals, observable and describable, therefore classifiable. Only those educational programs which can be specified in terms of intended student behaviors, how the student will react in a particular situation within a particular environment, can be classified. What we are classifying is the intended behavior of students, the ways in which individuals are to act, think, or feel as the result of participating in some unit of instruction. Educational procedures are intended to develop the more desirable rather than the more customary types of behavior. The student must feel free to say he disliked and not have to worry about being punished for his reaction. Benjamin S., Bloom Taxonomy of Education Objectives, Book 1, Cognitive Domain, Bracketed Information and Emphasis Added. From then on, only the child's natural inclinations for change would be evaluated, that is, would be of any worth. Any standards from the home, from the father, would become inappropriate information unless, of course, it was used to show the child how to identify and negate it, purge it from or disregard it, in his experiment, in his classroom experience, that is, in his life. Thus, the child's affective domain, his natural inclination toward pleasure, would be liberated, freeing him from the affects of his home experience, that is, from his father's authority. Intoxicated with the acceptance, that is, with the pleasure, pressure of group approval, he would from then on know himself as he is, no longer as someone his father wanted him to be. When restrained at home by his father, he would respond as one on a drug confronted with someone wanting to take it from him, with animosity and even violence. Bloom wrote in his second taxonomy, that is the affective domain. There are many stores of the conflict and tension that these new practices are producing between parents and children. David Krathwohl, Benjamin Bloom, et al. Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Affective Domain, that was and still is the drive, and the intended purpose of those possessed by the spirit of the new world order, that is, by dialectic. Reasoning. We now live in a nation on a drug, a people seeking after the pleasure of the moment imagined, real, or promised, losing their liberty and their life, following after men who have usurped positions of authority. Actually, the citizens have abdicated their position of authority, given to them by God, as Adam did in a garden in Eden, for the pleasures of this life, giving their position of authority to another spirit, a spirit who is antithetical to God and hates righteousness, who, like drug pushers, promise to giving them what they want in the moment, give them what the fathers won't, that is, unrestrained pleasure, thus leading them into slavery, bondage, abomination, judgment, and death, eternal death. The people, like drug addicts, will now turn and rend, anyone who attempts to deliver them from death, restore them to life, rescue them from bondage, restore them to liberty, try to get them off the drug, restore them to self-control. Without the father's restraint, all we have is a nation of unrestrained children, in adult bodies, practicing abomination. But that is the way those of dialectic reasoning would want it. It is not that God is against pleasure. He created it. It is that it, by its very nature, being ever-changing, that is never satisfied, is against him, that is against God, that is against the Father who restrains it, God the Father being established forever, unchanging, that is satisfied. Satisfaction restraining unsatisfaction, righteousness restraining sensuousness. That is like the father restraining the child's natural inclinations, that is restraining his propensity to approach pleasure without considering the consequences, teaching him to be like him, restraining his own natural inclination, learning self-control, which, if left to himself, like a dog chasing its tail, will never be satisfied, going where the moment takes him, changing, yet going nowhere in particular, yet never changing, just enjoying, the moment becoming consumer rather than producer-driven, that is become pleasure-driven rather than doing what is right and not doing what is wrong-driven, weighing the consequences of his thoughts and actions, that is how they affect him and others in matters of life and death. How far are we into debt today? Only a consumer-driven, pleasure-seeking, dialectic reasoning, people end up where we are today. Not only financially bankrupt, but also morally bankrupt, living on the hope, Immanuel Kant's understanding of. pure reason, that the augmentation of pleasure and enjoyment will redeem us, that is, bring us all together as one dead in our sins. We are now a nation of dead men walking, pushing death, that is human nature, calling it life. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8 verses 23 to 24. Thus all, and I mean all, that is including every law, becomes materialistic, that is sensuous-based, that is worldly, in the so-called new world order of dialectic reasoning, in a world built upon the dialectic process of consensus, where truth is established upon human nature alone, that is upon human sensuousness and human reasoning alone, subject to the ever-changing moment. Side note, the so-called healthcare package is not only about physical health, it is also about mental health and social health. It is a totalitarian form of government, a dialectic, reasoning form of government, which by its very nature negates the concept of inalienable rights, rights which were not changeable, which are not subject to the changing times, which are not subject to the whims, wisdom of those in government, or the departments which guide them in their thoughts and actions, guiding them according to dialectic reasoning, engendering a new world order built upon the foundation of human rights, a new world order where unrighteousness becomes righteousness and abomination becomes the norm. While true science discovers and recognizes laws of nature already established, fixed by God, science, falsely so-called, only recognizes the process whereby man discovers those laws through the process of speculation, theory. And the dialoguing of men's opinions to a consensus, that is to an agreement, with the testing of the nature of something, to discover what of it is that is only observable and repeatable, that is what is certain. Only that in the case of dialectic reasoning, the scientific process is redefined to mean what is observable and definable. Bloom, that is what is still not certain but describable in the moment, which is not the same thing to be tolerant of ambiguity, that is not knowing for certain but accepting it as fact, will drive a true scientist crazy. Building bridges or airplanes on an I feel and I think is nuts, that is, it is mad, that is, fly in an airplane designed and built on those words and see how you feel at 30,000 feet in a storm, making men's opinions manifested through dialogue, the only means whereby he can come to know the truth, makes man's carnal nature truth itself. When it comes to morals and ethics, that is how a person is to feel, think, and act in a given situation, the dialectic process therefore frees man from the righteousness, that is, frees man from the judgment of God, negates man of a guilty conscience, that is, humanizes him, that is, materializes him, that is, makes him a number, something which can be from then on manipulatable. If you're not manipulatable, you are of no worth or have no value in a dialectic world other than something to be removed or destroyed. The Apostle Paul explains that after understanding the laws of nature, that they are established and unchanging, that is, not ever changing, but fixed forever, man foolishly makes them subject to his opinions, theories, or speculations of the moment, that is, subject to the emotive situation, that is, changeable. Refusing to recognize that the laws of nature reflecting the very nature of God, that is spiritual, established, and unchanging, yet God himself not bound by the laws of nature, being himself merciful and full of grace toward those who repent of their sins and turn from their wicked ways, man turns to the process whereby he came to know the laws of nature, making it the process of opinions, theories, and speculations. That is dialectic reasoning truth, basing the discovering of the truth of his own nature upon his own nature, that is a nature of vanity and pride, that is of sensuousness. And self-justification, making all men subject to their heart of deceit and wickedness, making human nature itself established and unchangeable forever, and Anyone who condemns it or wants to change it, that is, redeem man from his nature, from his sin, from then on becomes the enemy of man, that is, making it the standard whereby to measure all that is in the creation, as well as the Creator himself, thereby worshipping the creation, that is, worshipping himself, that is, worshipping the sensuousness of the pleasures of this life, rather than God. See Romans 1 verses 14 to 32. Regarding his use of the scientific method, that is, the dialectic process, George Hegel wrote, "I could not, of course, imagine that the method which in the system of logic I have followed is not capable of much elaboration and detail, but at the same time I know that it is the only true method. It is clear that no expositions can be regarded as scientific which do not follow the course of this method, and which are not conformable to its simple rhythm, for that is the course of the thing itself." George Hegel and Carl Friedrich, The Philosophy of Hegel. The dialectic idea being, if the scientific method lies within man asterisk so that he can use it, discover, and know the laws of nature, that is to free himself from faith, that is so that he can manipulate nature, natural resources, for the betterment of his own life as well as for the world, it lies within man so that he can discover and come know himself as he is as well, that is to free himself from faith, so that as he can manipulate the natural things of the world, changing them for the betterment of life, he can also manipulate mankind himself, just like natural resources, for the betterment of life as well. Asterisk, according to dialectic reasoning, the object of inquiry is understandable to man because the process is in man himself, that is, in all men, helping man coming to know himself as he really is, not only as he is in his own nature, but in the other objects of the world as well, able to come to know himself in the other as he comes to know the other in himself, that is, making it possible for him to know the object as himself, as it is in his own nature, as it is in him, making it possible for all men to become as one in their nature, that is, in their nature only, mankind uniting upon the sensation of, that is, desire for belongingness, finding identity and purpose in the other, in himself, as he finds identity and purpose of himself in the other. As Hegel put it, the method is no way different from its object and content, for it is the content in itself, the dialectic it has in itself, that move it on. George Hegel, reading Hegel, the introduction, emphasis in original.